I'm told August is bat month. Fortunately, the ushers opened the doors in the back, so maybe our little friend will find his way out. Father Reardon, a priest of this diocese, God rest his soul, used to say that the surest way to get rid of a bat would be to baptize and confirm the bat, and then you'll never see it again. St. John of the Cross, the great Carmelite priest, poet, and mystic from Spain in the 1500s, used to keep a prayer journal of what God said to him in prayer. And day after day, month after month, he wrote only one word in his journal, nada. Page after page in his notebook, nada. Next page, nada. The next page, nada. N-A-D-A. Nada is the Spanish word for nothing. God said nothing to St. John of the Cross during prayer. It was only after a very long time of nada, nada, nada that the Lord revealed to him some of the most inspiring poetry ever written by a saint. In today's gospel, a Canaanite woman calls out to Jesus, "Have pity on me, Lord, Son of David." But Jesus did not say a word in answer to her. He said nothing. Nada. Now, I don't know about you, but this is how it is in my prayer life. You remember our theme from last week, Into Great Silence? I've taken the time to enter into great silence to be alone with Jesus. I'm making my daily or weekly holy hour with the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. I've been very, very quiet so I can hear his tiny whispering voice. And after all of that silence, he says nothing. Nada, niente, zilch, nothing. Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta experienced this through most of her life, 50 years of her life. The last years of her life, she was so faithful in prayer, and Jesus said nothing to her. Nothing, nada, niente, zilch, nothing. Stigmatist, mystic, and servant of God, Martha Robin prays, "My God, your silence replies better than the many fervors of my love for you." Wow. Silence is often God's most perfect answer. Now, when the Lord answers me with silence in prayer, my temptation is to give up, to stop praying, to pack up and go home. And I falsely conclude that because God doesn't answer me, he's not listening. But he's always listening. Silence is often God's most perfect answer. The Canaanite woman in the gospel doesn't give up when the Lord gives her the silent treatment. She persists. She falls at the feet of Jesus and says, "Lord, help me." And when he finally does speak, he tells her, "No." Can you believe it? No. Now, maybe he says yes to you all of the time in prayer, but with me, he often says no. Can you believe it? He refuses to answer my prayers. St. Paul prayed that a thorn in his flesh might be removed by Jesus. And Jesus said, "No, my grace is enough for you. For when you are weak, my power reaches perfection." Can you believe it? God says no, right? You're all praying right now that that bat does not land on your head. I hope that he answers that prayer. God says no, though, sometimes, right? I pray to win the lottery, and he says no, right? You ask your mom and dad, "Please, can I eat a giant bowl of ice cream every night before bed?" And they say no. How dare they say no? "Can I stay up till 3 in the morning every night?" And they say no. Sometimes God says no, because sometimes what I ask for is selfish. It's for me, not for his glory, but for my glory. God says no to me when I ask wrongly, as St. James says, to spend it on my passions. God says no to me when I'm asking for something that's not ultimately good for me. He knows it. I can't see it, but he knows what's in my best interest. And sometimes God says no when he has something better for me than what I'm asking for. Sometimes God says no because he gives those graces to somebody else. He says to the woman, it's not right to take the food of children and throw it to dogs. I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. God has certain graces for certain people. And because the Lord doesn't want to give me the graces that I'm asking for, my temptation is to get jealous, envious, sometimes even get mad at God. I have a little conversation with him and I pout and I say, well, you help so-and-so. Why can't you help me? The truth is, I don't ever deserve what I'm asking for. I'm just a little dog, and I'm begging for what is most precious for his useless servant. As St. John Chrysostom says, the Canaanite woman signifies repentant souls, incapable of boasting. Contrite sinners lean wholly on God's mercy. They recognize their weakness before God and can only beg for blessings, unable to demand from God gifts that he freely bestows. Yeah, I don't deserve anything God gives me. If God says no to me, I have to trust that God hasn't stopped loving me and that he's doing what's for my ultimate good. And sometimes when I ask God for something, he says yes, but not yet. And that's how he answered the Canaanite woman. Yes, but not yet. Why? Why does the Lord, if he's going to answer the prayer, why didn't he do it right away? Why did he wait so long to grant the Canaanite woman's request? Why didn't he do it immediately like he does with so many other people in the gospel? And the answer is to bring her into a deeper faith. He says, woman, great is your faith and trust. You know, when the Lord doesn't answer me right away, my temptation is, again, to give up, to stop praying. The enemy really wants me to give up praying. He's fighting really hard for me to stop praying and to give up. The Lord waits to answer me so that I'm going to grow in the virtues of patience and persistence and humility. I found over the course of my life, God doesn't answer me right away most of the time because he doesn't want me to treat him like a divine vending machine where I put in my request, push my selection, and expect to get what I want immediately. Instead, I have to keep coming back and back, recognizing that it's a gift. You know, there's a beautiful Latin word that summarizes what we're talking about today. And the Latin word is called quesumus. Quesumus. The collect of the Mass, or the opening prayer of the Mass, often uses this Latin word, quesumus. And it's usually paired with another Latin verb, like concede quesumus, or presta quesumus, or da quesumus. Now, those first verbs, concede, presta, and da, mean to concede, to show, to give, or I would translate them all, to grant. Now, quesumus, that's an important word. The New English translation of the Roman Missal translates quesumus as we pray. You can almost guarantee that when you hear the words we pray, that the Latin word is quesumus. But it's not my favorite translation. Quesumus is stronger than we pray. Quesumus means to beseech or to beg. And I would have translated quesumus with to beg. So you put it all together, and what it says is, grant, we beg. And this happens so often throughout the liturgy. Grant, we beg. The Canaanite woman in today's gospel is the poster child for the word quesumus. If there were pictures in my Latin dictionary, a picture of the Canaanite woman begging at the feet of Jesus would be right next to the word quesumus. Quesumus Domine, we beg, O Lord. That's more accurate. I'm just a little dog, and I can only beg for blessings, unable to demand from God the gifts that he freely bestows. So I hope you won't give up begging, and I'm not going to give up begging either. I'm going to keep on begging because I'm a poor beggar, quesimus domine. I don't deserve what I'm asking for, but I trust completely in the Lord's divine mercy and in his divine plan, and I know that even though I may not get what I want, I'm confident he'll give me what I truly need. And I hope that the Lord will say about my persistent begging, "Oh, great is your faith." And just maybe, if what I'm asking for is in complete harmony with his most holy will, I might also hear those glorious words, "Let it be done for you as you wish."